All right. Some of you may be having some additional power outages or surges. We lost Bill right after the Lord's Supper concluded, and I think he's joining us by phone, and he'll have some announcements here in a bit. When Scripture speaks of snow, God is teaching us about His power, about His purity, about His promises, and He's calling us to trust Him more deeply. So I want to share with you several things about snow from Scripture and when God speaks about snow today. In the first place, snow reminds us of God's sovereign power. There are a couple of places in the book of Job where snow is specifically mentioned. You know, Job is visited by some friends, and evidently, in addition to Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, there is an additional friend, Elihu, who withholds his comments initially because he's so young. But in Job 35 or 36, he begins to speak. And by the time we get to 37, this is something that he says about snow, reflecting what he believes about God. And while, you know, Job's friends, bless their hearts and bless Job's heart, they were miserable comforters. At the same time, we know that a lot of what they said about God on the whole was fairly accurate. Here's what Elihu says: "To the snow, he, God, says, fall on the earth. Likewise to the downpour, his mighty downpour. He seals up the hand of every man, that all men whom he made may know it." This reflects sort of an ancient Near Eastern mindset I've read that sort of believed that God had storehouses of precipitation to use at specific times when God felt that would be best. And perhaps that's what's being described here. One chapter over, when God answers Job in Job 38, he says in verses 22 and 23, "Have you," God to Job, "have you entered the storehouses of the snow? Or have you seen the storehouses of the hail, which I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war?" So in these instances, we see that snow reminds us of God's sovereignty. That is, that God is in complete control, and when he needs to, he can overpower anything. And based on what we've seen over the last day or two, God's storehouses, they have a lot of snow and ice in them. I dropped down a little bit into Psalm 148. And in Psalm 148, I'd like to back up and start reading at verse 7. It says, "Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling his word." You know, snow falls, evidently, or at least it can, at God's command. Nature responds obediently to the voice of God. And that's what these three passages that we've looked at so far teach us. So just think about this as we bring this into your life and mine. If God commands snow, he's not overwhelmed by the things that overwhelm us. Seasons that slow us down, those things may very well be God's way of getting our attention, of at least causing us to stop and to appreciate the blessings that he gives us, even if those blessings are things that we so often take for granted, like warmth. When life feels out of control, remember, life is never out of his control. The same God who controls the weather governs our lives with wisdom and intention. And in that way, snow reminds us of God's sovereign power. But here's the second observation. Number two, snow illustrates the purity that God desires. Well, that snow started falling. I don't know if you were like I was, but I woke up yesterday morning and I was kind of surprised that it had already started. I kind of thought it was going to be a little bit, but I got up at 5-something and looked out and it was already white. And that reminds me of the representation of snow in Scripture for cleansing, renewal, forgiveness. We began our time together with Isaiah 1:18, and it comes to mind now. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Scarlet turned to the whiteness of snow. David said in the 51st Psalm, Psalm 51, verse number 7, he says, purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And just to help us appreciate the contrast that he's building up there, he's already talked about how his transgressions needed blotted out, blotting out, Psalm 51, verse 1. He needed to be washed thoroughly and cleansed from his sin, verse 2. He says, my sin is ever before me, verse 3. He talks about how his sin was so deep that it needed to be, he reiterates in verse 9, blotted out. He needed a clean heart. And to all of that, I think, don't you think that he's reflecting that scarlet kind of mentality that the Lord in Isaiah speaks of? And yet, he confesses the reality that when God forgives, it is thorough, it is clean. Even yesterday, some of us here in our house had gone out and we had made a few tracks, and there were just some, impurities because the dirt through the tracks and other things that we were tracking around out there. And then you wake up this morning, albeit it was ice, but all that was covered over again. It was fresh and new, and while treacherous in its own right, just to look at it, there's a purity to it. The contrast is striking, and this is a purity that though we received it, there's nothing that we could do to earn it. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus is also described in his purity. Verse 3 says that his appearance was like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. But we need to appreciate the context here as well. This is Sunday morning, Resurrection Day. Mary Magdalene and the others have come to anoint his body with spices, going to see the tomb. But behold, there was a great earthquake, 28:2 says. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone, sat on it. And then when this is referring to the angel, not to Jesus. But the angel was like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. I'm sorry. But when we come down to Revelation chapter 1, the post-resurrection resurrected Jesus is described in a very similar way. So that angel in Matthew 28 was a messenger of God and therefore was holy. But in Revelation 1, 12 to 14, I'll get my act together in a minute. It says in Revelation 1:12, John turned to see the voice of the one speaking to him, and he saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a long robe, a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like white wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. The purity there. So here's the contrast. We see this contrast between our own sin, the deep stain, and then over against that, the holiness of God, of God's messengers, the angel, Matthew 28, of God's Son, Jesus, who is God with us. And we see his purity in his post-ascension majesty, Revelation chapter 1. And it's all compared to the purity, the bright whiteness of snow. Forgiveness in Jesus isn't partial. It's not merely cosmetic. It is thorough. It is stain removing. God doesn't just cover our sins. He removes our sin. He restores us completely. Snow illustrates the purity that God desires. But here's a third thing. Snow teaches us about God's provision and God's purpose. Now for this, I'm going to go back to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to look down in Isaiah chapter 55, where in verses 10 and 11, God says this, For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. All right, so look at the comparison, the analogy that's being made here, backing up to verse 10. Right now, it's kind of hard for us to appreciate that there is a good purpose here behind all of this, right? But in those dry months, and we were kind of dry, I think, before all this started, but this morning I got up and somehow there were puddles of water on top of the icy, sleety yard that I have. Anyway, that was kind of weird. But, you know, there's a purpose to all this. And God says the rain doesn't fall for nothing and the snow doesn't fall for naught. And in the same way, God's word is not purposeless and it will not return void. God compares the preparation of the ground for future growth to the purpose of his word and what it can accomplish. God's word is true and right, and we ought to continue to trust in it. God's promises are right and good. You know, this ice storm has made quite a splash for us, and we've been talking about it for a long time, and our meteorologists and other weather experts and the news people and law enforcement and city workers, they've been helping us get prepared for all of this. The work of the snow, of the rain, is somewhat quiet and slow and unseen, but God assures us in this passage that it's never wasted. And the word, the work of the word, is the same way. Even when we don't immediately see results, God's word is shaping our hearts. So we need to trust the process and know that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of glory, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Have you fallen behind in your Bible reading? Well, I think you got a little time. Maybe now's a good time for you to catch up and let the word slowly shape your heart and be confident that it will. Snow may fall gently, but it changes the landscape, and God's word will do the same. All right, here's one more, and then I've got another one I'm going to tag on to it. But snow shows the blessing of a faithful life. Snow shows the blessing of a faithful life. Okay, look at how God in his word has used snow in several different ways. Okay, we've talked about the effects of snow, and God says, my word is like that. We've talked about the look of snow, and God says, my forgiveness is like that. It covers the impurities thoroughly, and it takes away the stain, making it white. Well, now we see the blessing of a faithful life through individuals who are prepared for snow. Now, this is a little more true to our form for this weekend. In Proverbs 31, verse 21, it says of that virtuous woman that she is not afraid of snow, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. And based on what I can tell in doing a little research on this verse, this indicates they're clothed, which means they're warm, but they're also clothed with luxury. They're not just prepared, they're thoroughly prepared. They're wearing the best of the best. There are some textual variants that may indicate that they're wearing double layers. I don't know, but scarlet seems to be sort of the general rendering of whatever this Hebrew term is supposed to be. Snow represents, here, she's not afraid of this because she's prepared. And the weather people I've been watching have been saying, be prepared, not scared. And we've tried our very best to do that, and I know that you have too. And perhaps we see that reflected here in what the virtuous woman has done. Preparation removes fear. I've seen some people, I saw a little post by Rick Hepler that he wrote talking about how just like we ought to be prepared for the snow, we ought to make sure that we're prepared for the judgment day. And I think that's a great and biblical analogy. Here's something else, though. Proverbs 25:13 says, like the cold of snow in the time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him. He refreshes the soul of his master. All right, now look at what this is saying. Here we're contrasting, you know, the warm seasons and the time of harvest. You know, you're out there harvesting the crops and you're getting hot doing all of that. And you think, boy, in a really hot time like that, just a quick dot over to a place where there's a lot of snow, boy, that cool air would be refreshing. Now, right now it's not refreshing, right? We've about had our fill of it. But, you know, you take us to maybe July or August when those temperatures and all of that stuff are getting really, really hot. And we might look back on this and think, whoo, it'd feel good to be back there just for a minute right now. So we're talking about cooling, refreshment, a break from the heat of summer. And that's the idea here. And then in Proverbs 26, verse 1, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. All right, here we're talking about something that is unwelcomed, something that would be inappropriate or even destructive, like rain in the time of the harvest. We don't want to ruin everything. We don't want to risk, you know, hard and heavy rain taking some of the crops away before we're quite ready to harvest them or before we can get to them. And the wise man says here that giving honor to a fool is the same. It's inappropriate. It's destructive. And I think if we yoke all these three passages together, what we're seeing is that snow shows the blessing of living faithfully. Faithfulness today equips us for challenges tomorrow. And I think we're also seeing, as we did with the virtuous woman, and as we're seeing right now in real life, we're living this out. Faith doesn't eliminate storms. Whether those are spring and summertime like storms, like tornadoes, but also ice storms. Faith just prepares us for them. And a life that's rooted in God's wisdom can face difficulty with confidence. We can be ready when our storms, even snowstorms, come. Here's the last thing, and we're sort of tagging this on to this point. And that is that snow points us toward hope and renewal. Lamentations 3 doesn't mention snow, but it does talk about the renewal that we have with God. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I mentioned, just like you noticed probably too yesterday morning, that snow had fallen overnight and it transformed everything. By the morning. Snow covers what's old, what's broken, what's barren. That old brown grass and weeds, those are all covered up by that white snow. And that just reminds me that God specializes in fresh starts. Yesterday's failures do not disqualify me from today's mercy. God can bring beauty out of cold, hard seasons. And every morning is an invitation to begin again with God. So what may look lifeless today may be the soil of tomorrow's blessings. And I'm reminded when I look at snow of these things. So snow can teach us something. Will it remind you to trust God's control? Will it call you to walk in God's forgiveness? Will it encourage patience as God's working quietly in your heart through His Word? Will it challenge you to prepare faithfully? Will it renew your hope in God's mercies? When God talks about the snow, He's not just describing weather. He's helping to shape our souls through His beautiful Word. And it seemed like a fitting time to remind us of these blessings, these lessons from Scripture on a day like today.